on the give up. Mo Williams closed the punt. Took a kick at the shot clock. Cavs in trouble. Backdoor cut by LeBron. Covered up. Barrichello has to fire a prayer. Got it! Anderson Barrichello! Can you believe it? Kyrie. A little touche on Curry's stop side. Irving goes inside. To Barrichello. Lays it up and in. We're tied! A steal. Here comes Douglas. Trying to get to the rim.
Blocked from behind by Barrichello. A Portuguese chase down.
Barrichello, LeBron pocket pass to Barrichello. That's how they roll.
Hey, Chris Manning here from the Locked On Cavs podcast. Coming up on today's show, it is a mailbag. So answering a bunch of your questions here on the pod. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. Evan and I will be there Thursday, 8 p.m. for a live edition of Locked On Cavs. So tune in with us then. Evan, mailbag time.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes us want to wag our tail. When it comes, Chris wants a whale. Did you not watch Blue's Clues as a kid?
I did. It just took me a second to
My heart sank for you for a second.
No, I love Blue's Clues, and I just remember once someone sent me the Zillow listing for like the original Blue's Clues guy's like apartment in Brooklyn, and it was like incredible, and I was like, dang, Blue's Clues guy some points.
Successful children's show. Do you remember the rumors about why Steve?
That he like got kicked off because of
Coke. He literally just wanted to pursue his music career, and he didn't want to be known as a children's performer.
Who among us
would recklessly speculate things and take things out of context? Colin Sexton fanboys? I don't know. But Ryland Stiles asks us a question. Hey, guys.
Well, I was talking about the Coke, yeah, but maybe, continue.
Maybe on Coke sometimes to tweet nothing but Colin Sexton propaganda. Ryland Stiles, host of Locked On Thunder, asked...
And Locked On Royals. I think he's the only double dipper.
Brad Rollin.
Of like a pod in MLB in a no, but Brad
did,
doesn't do.
I thought he did Locked On Braves.
Brad doesn't. No. He does a Braves podcast for Brad has 90 jobs.
Did you see his tweet by the way? And he's just like somebody said like if you work 17 hours a day, you're more susceptible for stroke. And he's like, well, it was nice knowing everyone.
Oh yeah, he's very morbid about it. And then. Brad works a lot. Brad rules. Someone should pay Brad lots of money so he could like only sleep eight hours.
Yeah, no, he should just be paid to sleep. Like,
do you know like the thing where like if you're an architecture major, one of your projects is like you have to build your own bed and then you have to like sleep
no,
in it. And if it
I
breaks,
never knew
like
that.
You fail. Like, I think someone should. Hmm. Yeah, that's like a thing. You should have to. I think Brad should. Someone should. The opposite of that is just give Brad a bed for him to sleep in for a long
Brad,
time.
Brad, if you're listening, shouts to you. You're great. Come on the pod. We'll talk about how Colin Sexton's still better than Trae Young. But Ryland Stiles, double dipper in the Locked On Network. We'll give him that credit. If anyone wants to tell us a wrong, feel free. But he says, hey, guys, first time, long time. Heads or tails? Sorry, the phrasing threw me off. He's talking about the coin flip between the Thunder and the Cavs. Chris, you can be Ryland here because he didn't reply to my tweet in time. Call it heads or tails.
I'm going to call tails. Then I'm just going to cede it to the Cavs.
You won.
But
Isn't it silly?
Okay,
it's just so silly that... I love it. It's so weird. Just all this lottery and draft implication stuff.
I think they should stream this live.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Do they actually flip a coin, or is it like they draw numbers and it's a certain sequence?
I hope they just do the Google thing. That's what I hope they do. It's just like Adam Silver pulls up his phone and he's like, okay, hold on, guys. The Wi-Fi's being slow. I gotta get this up.
People are right about 5G. It's slow.
Oh man, like I got this microchip in my arm for no reason. Like
Quick,
I thought that
put
was
a
the whole point.
On my arm. I hate those videos so much. They like actually fill me with rage when I see them.
That's a thing.
COVID conspiracy theorists will put a magnet on where their vaccine site was, and that's where they claim the microchip is.
Why did you get the vaccine?
I thought you were asking me. I'm like, excuse me, why did I get the vaccine?
No, I know. Evan, Yeah. Let's move on. Okay, but I think that they should stream this if they're going to do something. And so it's so incredibly silly that is also extremely impactful. Let's just like put it on ESPN Plus and like stream it live, or put it on Twitter. Like I want it. Like you know.
Yeah. No.
They're never going to do it.
It would just be so funny if it really was a coin flip. That's just the easiest way to explain it, because I'm pretty sure it's a lot like the draft lottery itself, where it's just a sequence of numbers. They don't actually draw cards like they used to when David Stern froze the envelope for the Knicks. Like, it's a sequence of numbers they draw, and then they pull it out of a database and say, okay, out of like the infinite possibilities, this sequence of numbers says this is the pick order. They just, and there's like representatives that are locked in a room who know it. So like, let's say Kobe, Dan, Grant, MGK, and let's say Kid Cudi, just because we can get some good, more Cleveland pride there. They're at the actual draft lottery itself. They don't know the order, but the representative for the Cavs, like, let's say it's Brad Doherty here, knows it. So,
are you ready for, like, MGK and Megan Fox to be parting with Grant?
I guess so. I don't know. I forget they're dating a lot. When I think of Megan Fox, I just think of Transformers, and I just... My goblin trash brain connects the dots and say she's dating Shia LaBeouf.
Okay, did you watch that movie a lot in like middle school Spanish
that's,
too?
That's your Spanish. That's your truth, man.
My terrible.
No, it was just so my friends and I really like the Transformers, and you're about to see something from my Blu-ray collection. I have Revenge of the Fallen on Blu-ray. I got it as a gift from my mom because I liked these movies when I was in high school. And I got a PS3 at the time. And, you know, those were Blu-ray players in themselves. But, they're absolutely terrible. We just went for the laughs and the jokes. Like, when Optimus is screaming at Sam Witwicky, "Sam, put the cube in my chest now," my friends and I are actually crying, and we would quote that to each other all the time.
That sounds right. John Turturro being in those movies is incredible. All right, Evan, let's take a real question now. First question we have comes from Courtney Hoekstra, who works for the Cavs and is great. And
does Courtney still work for the Cavs?
I think so.
Okay.
Yes, cool. Digital marketing. And her husband, Biho, is an icon. Hosts a Wake Forest podcast, and was a walk in Wake Forest. I learn more about him every time I go into his Twitter feed. It's quite fun. But she asked us to power rank the Cavs mascots.
So we got... Are we including mascots?
Well, I think there's only three if you include the past ones, and it's Whammer, Moondog, and Sir CeCe. Girls. What are the teddy bear girls?
When Ted Stepien owned the Cavs, he was really creepy with some of the female
cheerleaders. Oh yes. We're not including them. I'm talking like the people that could get put in like animal control.
Okay, that's fair.
I'll go first.
It's actually pretty easy for me. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, go. No, go. CC3, if you think it's too easy, then go.
Whammer 2, Moondog, a very distant first. Moondog is the man. He is one of the best mascots. I still remember I was at the game as a kid where he was standing on the folding chairs and he fell, and the Cavs made a bit about it where he got neutered, and they made it like a whole thing where he wore a cone to the next game. He's a good sport, and it's a fun little homage to old Cavs, or not Cavs, Cleveland radio as well, and the Moondog ball as well. Like, it's a cool little reference to the Cleveland's rock and roll history that isn't forced down your throat.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's the right order. I do like that they like position Whammer as the heel.
That is funny, because people are really nostalgic.
Like,
it's funny that they made him the heel, and like, well, isn't the backstory that Moondog told him like there's something going on, and like Whammer vanished forever, and Moondog just took the mantle?
Look, I'm just saying, if the Cavs wanted me to script some like pro wrestling like storylines, Ben Axelrod and I could do that.
Yeah,
and you could do it. Like, we can do this. Like, we can get a Moondog and a Whammer fight.
Yeah, just we first write the story as Akron versus OU, and I get Greg Swartz in my corner, and then we flip the script to Moondog versus Whammer, and it's perfect.
So wait, let's just hit on this real quick. What doesn't work for you about Sir CeCe? I just kind of like that. It's like I like the animal.
I like animal mascots. I think humanoid mascots are kind of creepy. Like, you look at do the Steelers still have Steely McBeam as their mascot? He's like a weirdly creepy looking, like dead-eyed steelworker as a mascot. Like, I get it. You have a Cavalier to go with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and like him and Moondog have like a good report. It's for the kids, but you know, I grew up watching this team, and maybe I'm just biased and I like animal mascots to begin with, but I grew up watching Moondog, and then this poser with a cutoff comes in with fake muscle arms from SpongeBob and tries to take my dude's mantle. Not on my watch. Always be third. And polar bears are just cool, too. Like, that's a unique mascot. Like, I think Jackson High School in Northeast Ohio has a polar bear as their mascot. But, like, I learned today Pittsburgh State in Kansas, their mascot's the gorillas. And I'm just like, that's neat. I don't know. It's unique.
Yeah, I've never heard of a gorilla mascot. I think ultimately, like, it's Moondog is the best, and then Whammer. I just want heel Whammer, yeah, all the time. Like, he should, and he also should only wear, like, the 90s jersey.
Well, that's a dangerous game, because if he only wears the 90s jersey, then fans are going to ask for nothing but the 90s jersey all time, every time. And I feel I'm like we're going to offend Courtney, because in her profile picture, she's being held lovingly by Whammer. We might have answered incorrectly.
Oh, man. I quite like Whammer, though.
There is something nostalgic and just like how ugly those early 90s Cavs uniforms are, that they're kind of endearing. That color scheme is certainly unique with like frost blue, orange, and slate gray. And it just, you know, is giving me PTSD to when we lost the Locked On Cavs film review live stream, where we lost like 2 hours worth of recording, and I almost threw up when Twitch told me Twitch never responded, but I threw up knowing I wasn't gonna get it back. But I like I said, polar bears are kind of a unique mascot. That's neat, especially in Northeast Ohio, I guess, you know, Frozen Lake. But Moondog's just a cool homage to Cleveland's history as well, and I think kids like dogs more than bears, and that's just a fact of life.
I think like Moondog is objectively the best, but I think Whammer's probably my actual favorite.
So would you rank him one?
Yeah, okay, I'm gonna flip flop. I like Moondog. I'm saying like he's objectively like the best, but I think Whammer is like my favorite.
People who listen to the show say they prefer my takes to yours, but then I get casted with your Colin Sexton hate. But whatevs. Just gonna drag Ashley Bastock down with us.
Can I tell you the worst mascot, not even really a mascot that they've ever had. Do you remember the guy they used to have that came in like with Dance All Crazy and like threw gift fraud free t-shirts during games during the second LeBron era? The worst of all of the stunts. Like, I'm all for like put the Steelers logo up or the Michigan logo up and like boo. I'm for it. Like, give me the gimmicks. Like, I always get a kick out of pregame when the music is when music is fine, like in their DJ Steph Loss is playing like whatever like the hot rap song is at the moment, and like the dads are trying to dance. I get a kick out of like them getting made fun of on the mega flaming thing in the middle of the arena. But I do think the guy dancing is
well.
Is not good.
Do you think Moondog, like in the current, I think there's 26 mascots in the NBA. I know the Lakers don't have one, but they used to have a giraffe as their logo, which is kind of neat that they did. But or that could be fake. So if they ever introduce a giraffe mascot, this would be pretty high for me. But the Clipper Condor is neat too, but where do you think Moondog ranks in the grand scheme of mascots? Do you think he's a top tier mascot, or do you think he's middle of the pack?
Probably middle of the pack, just because of the ones that are the most famous are sort of the ones that become like the most like he's probably three in Cleveland, no, behind like whatever dog
and
the Browns have,
because all the racist fans that are fed it, he's being taken away.
I was gonna say Slider is like the physical thing that's at the game.
That's true.
Like, I think Slider is sort of more iconic than like Moondog.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe that's just a, I don't know, that's tough. But before we go, because I don't want to rain on my guy Moondog.
No, we gotta go.
Who's
some
the best NBA
buddy.
Mascot? I just need one word answer. I'm pulling an Evan question on you.
Ooh, is it Benny
good
the
choice. I'm going with Spurs Coyote.
Or yeah, King that's Cake a good Baby. One. I also, you're not gonna get this. I like Rocky the Mountain Lion from the Nuggets.
That's a good one.
And Bango. Bango's
great,
Bango's
but I really
answer.
Like Clutch the Bear, too, because when he whams that cake in people's faces sometimes, it always makes me giggle. But
According to like a quick Google search, the Sonics had a Sasquatch mascot,
cool.
And
that's
bring
so
that back.
Cool.
Bring that back. Okay, Evan, we got to pay some bills here. We are first going to hear from our friends in the locker room. And look, we're going to be live there on Thursday, 8 p.m., answering your questions live. So we'll do another sort of mailbag. If you miss it, you'll hear the show on Friday. No skin off of our back. Hope everyone's doing well. But locker room is changing the way that we talk about sports. Right now, go download the free locker room app currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NBA group for the latest league updates. I know you want to find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams and leagues. I cannot wait to join you on the app. Evan and I get there all the time. We're going to be there for the Lockdown Cavs podcast Thursday, 8 p.m., and we'll let you know when the room is live. And you can just follow us, and you'll see it pop right up there on the locker room app. Again, download the locker room app today. Locker room, changing the way we talk about sports. It is the absolute perfect way to engage with Lockdown hosts across NBA, MLB, and the NHL. All right, Evan, it's time for another question here. That was, I got to say, a very...
That was a fun question. It's one of my favorite ones.
Probably the best one we got for this batch.
Yeah, there's some more basketball-y questions. Not to poo-poo on the people who reached out. We appreciate all of you. And Ryland, thanks for stirring the pot and letting me get going there. But I don't know. We haven't really talked. We haven't really talked about mascot stuff. It's like when we had that jersey talk. Like, I like talking about that too.
It's like a palate. That was like a palate cleanser question for us, I think.
Yeah. No, it is.
It's fair. Okay. So, Jackson McCurry, Jack McCurry 08 asked us, if you were running the Cavs and decided it's time to hire a new GM and head coach, who would be your top targets for each position?
Ooh, this is tough.
Okay. This is tough because I think coaches is a little obvious. I think like Kenny Atkinson would be a name that pops right
Jordy
out.
Fernandez.
I think Jordy Fernandez. I think David Vanderpool mm-hmm. would be another head coach that would kind of pop out in that way. Front office stuff is a little harder because it is a lot harder to ascribe credit
which
to
which individual does what because those kind. You don't really get to know the entire front office staff. Like you know the GM, maybe you know the assistant GM, and maybe a few key figures, but it's tough.
I think you're looking at, like, if you could get, again, like, I know people, like, look at the Celtics and laugh, but, like, Mike Zarin is, like, a guy that is incredibly well thought of, analytically friendly around the league. Like, I think someone like that, I think there's probably folks in Toronto that, like, I don't know their names that I think would sort of make someone think, you just want to go pull from the smart organizations, right? Like, that's sort of what you want to do.
Yeah, no, that's what you want to do. Like, look at teams like the Heat. Look at teams like the Jazz. Look at teams like the Nuggets. The Nuggets hiring tree is actually a really good one. Masai Ujiri is from that tree. The guy who's running the show in Chicago, I don't want to butcher his name. He is from that Nuggets nucleus. Like, Denver is doing a really good job producing front office personnel. It's just tough to really say who do you want to pick because you got to figure out, like, are they analytically sound? Are they more of a traditional mindset? Are they that old Bucks group that somehow regurgitated in Orlando and now if they don't have a 7-foot wingspan, you can't be on this roster? Do you want that type of team building? Like, that's a tough question. If you had to take a vein from a certain team like Miami, Denver, the Jazz, like I just said, even the Clippers maybe as well. Like, Lawrence Frank's staff is pretty good too.
Well, if you want to talk about someone that, like, if you want to, like, that has affiliation with the Cavs in the past, Trent Redden would be that kind of guy. Although I don't know if he and Dan, he was very loyal to Griff. But, like, those are the kind of names. And, like, some of the names we'll go over again. Like I was looking at, like, the Arnovitz reporting that he does every year for, like, the 2017 one was the first one that came up. And, like, Bobby Webster came up on that. Or Troy Weaver, excuse me, came up on that list. And he now runs the Thunder. Pistons, and he's, yeah. Or, excuse me, the Pistons after working for the Thunder. And he's orchestrating that.
Lindsey Gottlieb popped up on that list too, which makes sense. Lindsey really, I think, would be good in a front office role if she wanted it, but I think she's on to better things with USC.
I think that one of the names that I would say would be a really interesting one as a coach that I'll just say I think could be interesting would be like a Jaron Collins. I cool. think you could do Darvin Ham, another former player. Jamal Mosley was someone that has interviewed for jobs. Stephen Stiles was sort of in that way. Gottlieb was on the was according to the Arnovitz report on the coaching thing last year, quote, wowed with her attention to detail and temperament in Cleveland. I think yeah. she would have been really
good. I never knew she was offered the Iowa Wolves head coaching job.
Yes.
That's really cool. Gerson Rosas is another good example. Like, I'm intrigued with what he's doing in Minnesota, but you want to try and find a young GM, too, that can kind of build things in their image and also be flexible and not completely rigid in their team building process. Like, if things change, you're able to shake things up and follow what the trends are, too.
I think Jerron Collins would be one that, like, really appeals to me. Just in terms of, like, former player, all that stuff. The one name that I would say if the Cavs, like, were hiring a new head coach tomorrow that I would not want to do is Dave Yeager. Like, I think he's a good coach, but it's just, like, the relationship stuff in Cleveland already becomes fraught, and this becomes, like, something I think you need to work
through. Dave Yeager would not be my pick. Like, in terms of retreads, Kenny Atkinson makes the most sense just because he's done a lot of good things with Brooklyn, and Jared Allen would probably be pretty stoked to have Kenny back in the building, too. But if Jared's here long-term, granted. But I don't know. It's tough for sure. Like, I think Mike...
Wes Unseld Jr. would be another name that I think got some Cavs interest last time. And then
like, the Cavs did have some out-of-the-box hires options, too. Like, they were pursuing that dude in Lithuania who, when I talked to Trevor Magnotti, said he more or less did that interview just so he could force his team to sign him to more money, and that's exactly what happened. So Trevor's really good at keeping track of international hoops, but hope he's doing well. It's tough. Like, we talk about retreads again, like Mike Brown, like, I don't want him to come back to Cleveland, but I think he's going to be getting some head coaching consideration because he's been doing really well with the Warriors, and I think there's enough time between when he coached in Cleveland with the Lakers that people have a better idea of things. But I think also if the Cavs, they are a progressive organization when it comes to their hires sometimes, I think if they were able to get it, let's say Kobe Altman is let go, if they're able to bring in another black man to run this team, I think that would be a good thing because we need more black men coaching in front office roles and especially in executive roles in a predominantly black league.
No, 100%. I think you gotta, like, not take that not out of your consideration. I think the thing that I will just say as, like, a last note here is that, like, I think, like, JB, if I were to say, if I had to pick one that I would say is I have more faith, and I actually think it's JB.
I do, too. I think JB maximizes the talent of this roster, and he does the best he can. Like, people are trying to point fingers on who's most culpable for just all the drama and BS surrounding this team. I don't think JB Vickers. JB Vickerstaff deserves some of the flack for the last lack of an intuitivity with his offensive set sometimes, but there's also nights where the Cavs are playing a lot of non-shooters just because of injury, and I give credit where credit's due to JB. The Cavs remain largely competitive for all 72 games.
Yeah, I kind of trust JB more than any decision maker they have in the org right now, and at least in terms of temperament
actually,
and things like that.
Well, actually, Justin Rowan could also be a consideration as first podcaster to become a front office league executive. Like, that'd be pretty neat.
How many Canadians would be on the roster by the end of the year?
Nine first round picks for Shea? How much would you trade for Jamal Murray, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander? How much would you sign Tristan Thompson in free agency? Would you do the Andrew Wiggins trade for Kevin Love and some picks? Like, would you mortgage the franchise's future to form the most Canadian team possible?
Justin, like, moves
the trade. He moves him to Winnipeg so he can just, like, leave his house and just walk down to the office real quick.
Yeah,
but it's also a frozen vibe.
Anyway, Evan,
in the middle of September. I've seen the pictures.
Yeah, Evan, let's do one more quick one before we go here. Okay, so this is just from Matt_the_WAP. It hurts, but on the Vecini's pod with LaRue, they said there's a real possibility. He says, I'm going to say the Caps could get two first-rounders for Nance. If that deal's on the table, do you take it?
As a follow-up, Trevor Magnotti, speak of the devil, just said, as a follow-up, LaRue also suggested Sexton for five if Oklahoma City gets the Houston pick, and I'd like to know if there's any smoke to him angling for a front office role. I didn't read all of it. I just read the beginning of it. But I don't think the Caps could get two first-rounders for Larry. Maybe a late first-rounder this year and possibly a future first that has some protections on it just because of his health concerns. But Larry's pretty good. I know there's a certain Cavs beat reporter who said he's second-team all-defense good. I don't know if he's that good, but he did make a huge difference in Cleveland defensively. So I think he could get some picks for the Cavs.
I'll text Larry. You the name had a good year
after, while you're
when
talking
he
of who said this because I don't want to, you know, start any beef.
Anyway,
let's say if Oklahoma City called and said, first off, Shea and Sexton, would be interesting. But two, if Oklahoma City called and offered five for Colin Sexton, the Cavs have to say yes every time because they would take that without any shred of doubt in my mind. Because let's say like Cleveland gets a top three pick. Let's say it's Evan Mobley at two or three, depending on how teams feel about Jalen Green or Suggs. And then they get a call for five, and let's say, I mean, God, you get your pick in the middle there with some of those wing players. Like, Chris and I are very pro building around wing and perimeter depth, so you get that stab as well. And you can also kick the can way far down the line of not having to pay Colin Sexton or worrying about committing that type of money to a player just yet.
All right, Evan, let's pay some bills. First up, we got our friends at Built Bar. So Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. They have 9 great flavors out in rotation right now. Plus, they'll have some limited time flavors will drop, like the mocha one from last week. That is excellent. Of course it was. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, well, you're missing out. Coconut, almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. Do you know what my favorite flavor is, Evan? It's got to be mint brownie right now, I think. Just fresh. It's delicious. I love a mint and a chocolate combo. Like, it's great. And look, there's something for everyone. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can also get a mixed box where you can get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bars the best tasting bars out there, but they're healthy too. Most bars have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. Right now, go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Let me also tell you about our sponsor, BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing. Get it? Because baseball. And you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news and odds and info for your sporting needs, including the MLB, NBA, NHL, and your UFC, MMA, human fighting action. Before the next pitch, get it? Again, because baseball. Head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Do not sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game, as they would say in High School Musical, as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Get to their website now, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, but only if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Okay, Evan, last segment here. Let's do a couple more questions here. We got 2 questions. I think this will be our last one. We will save some of these extra ones for the locker room session.
I enjoy mailbag and talking points. You guys are gonna be hearing a lot more of these as we have a little bit of downtime from when the draft lottery happens.
Yeah, because we're still in season right now. We got a really good one. I want to shout out from Josh Reisinger, Josh_SET. We're not gonna do here, but I want to do in the mailbag because it'll be fun to do in that format. Or in the locker room, excuse me. So, I got a question from Kyle Condick, who shouts to him for being he works for he does a crystal ball politics thing for the UVA. Good political
and
politics.
He's actually a big fan.
Then Mike Schreiner
told me, so shouts to him.
Yeah, shouts to Kyle. And Mike Schreiner, Mike_CTBIPL. He used to write with me at Write Down Euclid way back in the day. Both asked about backup point guard and like the Cavs desperately needing one for next season. Like, who are some names? Backup point guard is like such a tricky thing because like you're obviously not gonna invest a lot of money into it, right? Like, you're just not. When you, like, if you stick with the current format you sort of have, then you're just not gonna invest a lot of money in that. I also think if you're sticking with Sexland, you sort of have to do a thing where you are going to find a Dante Exum backup point guard type. And the other thing to consider is the Cavs are just not going to have a lot of money.
Jeff Nauman is texting us about Josh Giddey. Sorry.
He's probably texting us about Broderick Thomas.
hey, take that back. Jeff's great.
I'm cutting that out, so don't worry. The Cavs are not going to have a lot of money to spend.
They are not.
Is the thing here. So like, if they re-sign Jared Allen to like the kind of contract we're expecting and like other stuff happens, like, you're just not going to have much money to sort of work with here. You know, Kyle mentioned TJ McConnell. I don't like actually hate that because he like does do stuff. Like, he's not like a bad player despite like being sort of a meme.
No, I mean, he I tweeted saying that the Cavs should sign TJ McConnell just so he can't hurt them anymore because he almost put up a triple-double with points, assists, and steals in the first half that one time.
that is maybe the most absurd thing I saw. There's a lot of dumb stuff we saw covering this team this year. That might have been the most hilarious thing
Brother,
that we saw.
Brother, do you remember Andre Drummond playing basketball for this team?
Yeah, I saw that video of him and Okoro and Sexton dancing in the locker room today. I'm like, that happened within the last calendar year?
So weird, man.
What a world, man.
Yeah, but like Chris said, the Cavs aren't going to have a ton of money to really play around with once they commit money to Jared Allen. I mean, maybe they move Kevin Love, but there's going to be contracts that come in. Maybe they move Torian Prince and Jetty Osmond and somehow don't bring back anything nominal of value if a team's able to kind of absorb either of those contracts. And maybe they get a little bit more Skrilla to play with, but I doubt they will. I think TJ McConnell will kind of be like your peak hope, but I think he might get a he seems like the type of player who like the Pacers would like prioritize to sign ASAP. So he's an option. I guess maybe like Ryan Arcidiacono if the Bulls don't want to bring him back as an option. Brad Wanamaker with Charlotte if you want to like just bring in a guy. If you want to really just replicate Dele's production but you know actually have him healthy and be able to be available, Raul Neto with the Wizards is an option too. I mean, Jeff Teague, campaign's out of the question now because he's balling for Phoenix. I think he's going to cash in on that because the team's going to be desperate. Or they go like a younger route. Maybe they look at like a Frank Mason. I know he's 27. Or they look at Grant Riller with Charlotte, or who's a restricted free agent, but I don't know if the Hornets are going to really need to put up a ton of cash to match any offers for him. Or hey, maybe they, maybe the Wizards let go of Cassius Winston and the Cavs take on a project like that. I don't know. There's some options, but I don't think the Cavs are going to be huge players. And I mean, other than like Chris Paul, Kyle Lowry, Goran Dragic, Dante Exum, Lonzo Ball, Derrick Rose too. Derrick Rose is going to get a decent payday. There's not like a really diverse point guard class. It's either like players who either expect to be starting or playing like a role for a contender, or a serious role for a team, or you kind of find some bottom feeders who maybe are a last end of free, like really like serious end of free agency signing. The Cavs probably aren't going to be able to commit a ton of money to the backup point, and there's not really that many options for them to commit money to begin with.
Yeah, and I think you need to be very picky about the kind of backup point guard you want to sign, because I think like Alfred Payton might be out there for a minimum. Is that the kind of player I think you want? Probably not stylistically what I think you're looking for.
I think Frank Ntilikina could be an option too, but who knows, maybe he sticks with New York and keeps learning defense under Thibs.
Yeah, Frankie Smokes would be like the kind of like option that I think makes the most sense. Like I think ultimately like what you're gonna see, and this is probably frustrating in some ways, I think, if you're watching the team, but like you're probably gonna try and cobble together those minutes more than like invest actual capital into it, right? Because I think like your hope is sort of that, like, okay, let's just say next year you roll into next year with Sexton and Garland again as your starting backcourt.
Barf.
You're hoping that year four of
yeah, I said barf.
Did you say barf?
Go ahead.
I'm just gonna cover and vibe. Like you're gonna go into year four of Sexton and hope that like you can like that, like, you know, in a more normal season where you get more insult time, et cetera, like that you're going to be able to take what he's doing and then like it's going to be a little bit of a better level, right? Like that is, I think, what you're ultimately hoping is that like you can take him, you can bring him into a situation where like it can sort of just like work a little bit better, and like you can him plus like growth from Okoro plus Nance plus like maybe your rookie can sort of be like a thing that cobbles together enough of a backup point guard stuff that is like not a thing. Because again, like I do not think that you want to honestly, I just don't think you want to like spend a lot of money in that position. No. Like I just don't think it is ultimately like worth a lot of your capital. I think, you know, like I think Frank Ntilikina can make some sense. If you wanted to buy really low, like maybe Dennis Smith Jr. could be like a buy low, come and prove it kind of option, although the fit's not clean.
I was so wrong on Dennis Smith Jr. I thought he was going to be pretty good coming out of North Carolina State, but I don't know if I want that reclamation project on the Cavs' hands.
But I think that's the kind of stuff you're probably trying to get at, too, because once you get up a little higher into like the guys that are a little older, more established, like you know, like Reggie Jackson makes absolutely no sense. Like Mike James doesn't. Like I mean, maybe like Mike James or could Brad Wanamaker make Brad Wanamaker might not be like a bad like older option. If he's going to come in on a minimum and like you could just do that and that's fine for a year. like, you have ways you could go with this. It's just sort of, like, not clear to me that you should be spending, like, actual money on this. And, like, maybe you like, get someone off the scrap. Like, I think one of the beauties of point guards is that it's, like, the upper echelon is clearly, like, much, much better than a lot of the upper echelons. But I haven't done, like, the full dive into, like, is there going to be someone that slips in the draft, like, you're going to draft? Like, you could maybe find, like, a serviceable guy to, like, be, like, your third-string guy, like, that you get off of, like, a summer league roster or something. Like, I don't think that's, like, impossible, but, like Austin Rivers is just not the right fit for what the Cavs are
going to be. Maybe the Cavs trade back into the first round, like, Jaden Springer's mocked to go 21st with Tankathon.
Let me ask you this specifically, just as a note here. Like, would you prefer that if they were going to go out and get another point guard? Like, if this is, like, a need that they say, we need to, like, bring in someone to help us here. Do you think it should be a veteran? Because sometimes I think I do. Well, but it also depends on if the veteran's going to come in and do the stuff that you want, like, an OG veteran to do that is going to contribute to what you're trying to build more than, like, him being worried about his touches.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know if you can find a guy, because, like, Matthew Dellavedova is that player for the Cavs.
Like, if Austin Rivers was willing to do that, I would do that. But I don't think it doesn't seem like that's, like, really what he wants to do with this.
No, I absolutely agree.
Like, Tim Frazier, maybe? Brad Wanamaker would make a lot of sense to me if we're going to older, like, extremely cheap guy.
They do make a lot of sense. It's an interesting thought exercise, like, because you got to wonder how the Cavs are going to allocate money to kind of round out this roster and improve things, because backup point is going to be a glaring need. And granted, unless they, like, draft Cade Cunningham, and I think you can kind of see where the chips fall, where they lay. Like, Sexton's playmaking is encouraging, but his end of season stuff too. Maybe if you do slot him that six-man role, you haven't played backup point. I don't know.
Or even if he's just, like, playing next to, like, a creator like that, it just changes things. Like, there's just stuff with this roster that as we end the season, like, you can identify needs, but the draft is going to come first, and then we're going to see what they do.
That's the thing. Like, we'll have a clear idea even before the lottery. Like, once we know what the Cavs are picking, we'll have an idea of, like, okay, these players will realistically be in Cleveland's range. That answers those questions a little bit. Like, we'll have different paths laid out. Maybe that'll be an episode where you have, like, three separate paths depending on where the Cavs draft pick lands in the lottery. Like, they draft this player, they do this in free agency, they possibly make these trades, and they move forward with this as their key identity going forward. Like, we do stuff like that. Those are fun thought exercises too. But yeah, I'm warming up to the idea of Brad Wanamaker. Like, I think he's a fine player. I don't think he is going to come in necessarily expecting to play. I think he'll just be entertaining, I guess.
Is the answer ultimately just, like, Deli, because he's going to come back one more year?
Yeah, I think so, because he'll sign for a vet min deal or possibly less than that. But shit. Maybe they take a
Can't sign. I mean, you can't sign for less than a veteran minimum.
Retires and gives the rest of the money back, Chris. So it's less than that. Yeah, I'm being a little more dark about it. I mean, Dante Exum could come back too. That'd be fun. Dante Exum was neat when he was healthy, but
have not heard a peep about what's up with him since he went to Houston. Like, I don't even know if he's in Houston
either. Shoot, I hope he's okay. Dante, if you're listening, flicker your lights on.
I think he just, like, got hurt, and then it's a wrap.
Yeah,
for him, he's out for the. He got ruled out for the season officially 3 weeks ago, according to the Houston
Chronicle. That answers that. I mean, he's a free agent. This unrestricted free agent coming up this summer. So, and I don't think he played a single game for the Rockets either. So,
no, I think if you got him for, like, a minimum, I'm not, like, actually opposed to that, but, like, you shouldn't bank on that.
No, if you can sign Dante Exum for the minimum and, you know, knock on wood, hope he stays healthy.
I just remember, like, talking to Jet, like, David Locke and Ben Dowsett specifically, like, about Exum, and I was like, oh, he was talking about, like, how he's working on, like, landing differently and is, like, on coming down and, like, not so he gets less injured. And they were like, yeah, he's been talking about that for 5 years. Like, it just might be, like, he might just be cursed.
He's like that guy from SpongeBob. He was born with glass bones and paper skin, and that's just his life story. It's unfortunate, but I don't know. Hopefully Dante can have a little bit of a bounce back. For all we know, he can end up back in the Australian leagues next year too and just play serviceable minutes and just enjoy being in his home country again.
Yeah. Well, Evan, I think that's a good place to end it. If we didn't get to your question, we'll probably get to it in the locker room or in a future Cavs mailbag. But until next time, this has been Locked On Cavs. I'm Chris Manning. He's Evan Damrell. We'll talk to y'all soon.
This week on the Locked On Today podcast, how worried should the Lakers be about their road back to the finals? Get more of your sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.